went.
All right. Everybody can hear me? The mic on?
He's working on it, I think.
He's working on it.
He says it's on.
All right. Well, whenever Don and I were married some 36 years ago, we took the Bible verse, Ephesians 3:20, to be our marriage verse. And that says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. And the word abundant is in there, that abundant blessing that we continue to get as we walk through this journey of life. And so as I look at how God's been working in our lives, there were three points that kind of jumped out. When we pray to God for an answer, a lot of times we pray because we think we know the best. But God is the one that knows the best, and he doesn't always give us what we ask. And sometimes that's, you know, we say, well, how could you do that, Lord? But he wants to give us the best. We've seen many times when he will give us the best, even though it isn't what we ask for. Second item, God continues to use those dark valleys, those shadows that we walk through, those difficult times. He uses those in our lives so that then we can be further along in our journey of life and also then be a blessing to others. And we've seen that many times where we've gone through some difficult times. And then later on, we see that difficult time was just another way that God strengthened us, he blessed us, and then we were able to be a blessing to somebody else. Third item, God continues to bless us with family. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this was one of those greatest years for us. We have a grandson, and it's a blessing. It's a real blessing, and the way the Lord continues to bless us abundantly.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so he's going to pass the mic to whichever one of us here is going to share next. Richard.
I found out through some things that people don't like, and that's losing loved ones. And I found out that he had a plan for me. And it turned out for the better. I'm a better man now. And I look forward to every day like a blessing from the Lord. In the name of Jesus.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Who else will share? Don't be shy. You're here. God's working in your life. I'll wait you out. There we go.
I became a Christian in 1974, and I began fellowshipping with friends from school who came to this church, and they were part of the Young People's Group, Young People's Society. And as a result of that relationship, I met Natalie, and she and I were married 5 years later after I got out of college. But we both came from families that were really struggling with their marriages and a high divorce rate among our siblings and relatives and friends. And we became very determined at that time to try to follow God's plan. To have a strong marriage and a strong relationship that would last forever for the rest of our lives. And again, as we were part of this church, there were friends, the Weavers, one of them, Ganya's, several others. We became aware of a ministry called Family Life. They would hold Weekend to Remembers to strengthen marriages in America. And we just, Natalie and I, over the years felt, you know, called to be part of that ministry. And so today, even now, as it's been 27 years, we've gone to a marriage weekend every weekend, and we encourage all of our friends and family and those of you here, you know, to try to attend to strengthen your marriage. And so just that's something that I think I've felt, you know, God's plan and calling for me to you know strengthen marriages and strengthen it. In turn, it strengthened our own marriage and our commitment to the Lord and His plan for marriage. And this year, we're actually going to be helping out at another weekend in Hartford. That'll be in November. But for years, we've been part of the team and the resource room team at the Newport, Rhode Island weekend that they've had. But I just want to thank Lynn and Donna and others who encouraged us over the years to be part of that ministry. So.
All right, thank you, Mark. And I affirm everything he was saying about that ministry. That's they got us to go to that weekend, and that was a great help in our marriage as well. Okay, would someone else share something God's been doing in your life powerfully? Is
My name is Larry Duffy, and I'm from actually near Toronto, Canada, but I live in North Dakota. My friend Sharon, John Person's sister, we're here visiting, and I was a pastor for almost 40 years, an evangelist, but I had a stroke last September, and kind of slowed me down, but I'm walking and I'm talking again. I was completely paralyzed, and the Lord is good. And I've really been blessed this week with my dear friend. And also, in all my years, I've been truly blessed by John. His beautiful wife and family have been a real experience for me. Your church is beautiful. May God be with you all and bless you. Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much. All right. Anybody else? All right. Thank you for sharing. God is doing things in all of our lives. And, a stroke. We go through life like everyone else does. And our testimony to the world very often is, what did you do with what you had at that time? And we are not called to be supermen and superwomen. We are called to be followers of Jesus who are living out our lives before a watching world. Yes. All right. So let's this last idea from these verses here. In verse 38, all these people were saying of Jesus, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of Adonai, the Lord. Shalom in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, if that sounds familiar, it should, because that last phrase, peace in heaven, shalom in heaven and glory in the highest, that's an echo of Luke's story from back in the beginning at the birth of Jesus, where the angels announced the coming of the Messiah. He is now born into the world. And so we're hearing echoes from the beginning. And they say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And this was part of Psalm 118. This was spoken and rehearsed at the holidays, especially Passover and Sukkot, or Tabernacles in the fall, which we're kind of in right now, we're moving towards. And so that was something familiar to them, but the idea when there were kings in Israel was that the priests in the temple would welcome the king to come and worship in the temple, even coming from his residence or coming from outside the city, coming back from their wars. And so they were familiar with this text, and they were now applying it to Jesus. And the Messiah is built into this text. If you want, you can turn there to Psalm 118, but I will read it for you, starting at verse 19. It says this, and this is part of a group of psalms from Psalm 113 to 118, are called the Hallel Psalms, or the Praise Psalms, that get read out at the great holiday festival times in Israel. Psalm 118, verse 19 starts out, "Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation." And hear this amazing verse. "The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." So this idea about someone who is not accepted by the status quo becoming the most important one is welded right into their holiday celebrations. And this psalm had been being quoted and sung for as much as 1,000 years. God's messages, they're woven all through everything we're doing in all of our life. Don't miss that. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Marvelous in our eyes. We're amazed at that. Is your salvation in Jesus Christ, does it amaze you? Is it marvelous to you? I hope it is. I hope it's not just some box you ticked off when you were young or something. I hope it is the center of everything you're about. Because that is the Jesus said, don't rejoice that you cast out demons. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. He goes on in Psalm 118, verse 24. The Lord has done it this very day. You and I are living witnesses to God's power and God's work. It is not through an institution that you and I are here today. It is through a living strand of people telling this story to one and another, from father and mother to children, to friends, to people we just happen to meet somewhere. We're part of a living body that has been alive for these 2,000 years, and yea, even longer, if you go back and consider that God began raising up a people with the man Abraham. Verse 25 in Psalm 118, "Lord, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, grant us success." And then this verse, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you." You can hear the refrain of the priests. "From the house of the Lord we bless you. But blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, Luke has already mentioned this little phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And he mentions it because Jesus said it earlier in his journey to Jerusalem, when he's lamenting the city. Back in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you," and I'm reading here again from the Tree of Life version, "for I tell you, you will never see me until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's why I think it's such a miracle that we have this large contingent of Jewish followers of Jesus in the day that we live. It is a living testimony to us and to the nation of Israel that God is alive and well. John expressed the same thing in his gospel in John chapter 12 and verse 13. It says he describes the scene this way. "So they took out palm branches and they went out to meet him singing Hosanna," or Hosanna as we say. "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And so it's Luke who introduces the word king into the text. He remembers that they were saying, he's the one. You know, the phrase is just blessed is he, but now we're specifically putting our finger on it. We're calling this man the king. It's got a forward look to it. They don't know where this is going. They don't see Jesus coming with any army, not an armed army. He has an army of followers who are praising the Lord, but they will be scattered like sheep by the end of the week. Will you praise him today? That is the question. Will you praise him today because of who he is? Will you praise him for what he's done in your life yesterday? And if you think God's not doing anything in your life, we were having a discussion somewhere last week about this. Think about who you are now and who you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And you'll see that you're not the person you were. There are certain people you meet and you go, oh my, I have no idea why this person's saying that except that I used to be just like that. I can't even imagine thinking that way anymore. And that's because God has been changing your life. He's been working in your life. Do you have hope for tomorrow? This is an eschatological statement. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus said to them, you know, when I read to you the lament over Jerusalem, I will never come back until you, he's talking to the leadership of Israel, until you say to me, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then that statement gets quoted later on by his followers as he enters the city. Does that count? No. The corporate nation of Israel is going to lift their hands and their voices to their Messiah at some time in the future. We don't know what that looks like or what it's going to look like, but it's starting to move that way, and that is a great thing. And so we wait for them to say those words to their Lord and Savior, and we say those words as well to the coming King. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we so look forward to your coming. We want to see you, and we will see you together, and we're so glad about that. Teach us to live our lives every day in a state of grateful, thankful, amazement, seeing all the progress that you're making in each of our lives, little bit by little bit, and you're using us to help one another make that progress. We're discipling one another. We're teaching one another. We're provoking one another to good deeds. We are sharing with one another. We are sharing your word with people who have never heard this truth. Thank you for what you're doing, for the miracle that we're part of right now. And we'll thank you this week as we go about. Lord, take the covering off of our eyes so that we can really see what you're doing. Open our eyes, Lord, and we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.